He stepped out of the shadows and crossed the street, turning left into the Rue Saint-Louis-en-Lille. The lights of shop windows fell out across the street. Patches of shadow where apartment buildings and doorways stood in darkness were like missing teeth. It was oddly quiet here in the heart of the city, the calm at the centre of a storm. The traffic was a distant rumble. There was no one else in the street. At the far end, the Brasserie Saint-Louis was shut, tables and chairs stacked up on the pavement under its awning. He heard his own footsteps echoing back from the apartment blocks rising on either side, each step laden with resignation. But the echo seemed odd, unsynchronized, and he realized that they were not his footsteps. There was someone else in the street. He stopped, turning to look behind him, but he could see no one. The dislocated echo had stopped too, a trick of acoustics, perhaps. He continued towards the end of the street and heard the sound of following footsteps again, some way back. He swiveled and caught a fleeting movement in the shadows of a gateway leading to a courtyard. Again, the echoing footsteps had ceased abruptly. Was there someone lurking there? His mouth felt dry, and he became aware for the first time that his pulse rate had increased. He realized he was afraid and was not sure quite why, except that someone seemed to be following him and didn't want to be seen. He picked up pace towards the Brasserie Saint-Louis, and there it was again. An echo that wasn't quite an echo. He glanced over his shoulder and this time saw a man following in his wake, about 20 meters back. He was making no attempt to conceal himself. His pace had picked up to match Enzo's. As he neared the end of the street, Enzo started to run. Scaffolding forced him off the pavement. He thought he could hear the other man running behind him. He stole another glance over his shoulder, but the scaffolding obscured his view. He turned left at La Chaumière-en-Lille, emerging from the darkness of the narrow Rue Saint-Louis into the brightly lit expanse of the Pont Saint-Louis leading over to the Ile de la Cité and the floodlit towers of Notre-Dame. If he had hoped to find people here, he was disappointed. The bridge was deserted, and he could still hear footsteps in the street he had just left. He was halfway across the bridge when he saw the second man, a thick-set figure in a dark suit standing on the far side, silhouetted against the lights of the cathedral behind him. Something about the way he stood, legs slightly apart, hands at his sides, gave Enzo the immediate impression that this man was there to bar his way. He stopped running and stood staring breathlessly at the man, uncertain of what to do. Behind him, footsteps emerged from Rue Saint-Louis and came to an abrupt halt. Enzo looked back. His pursuer stood at the other end of the bridge, and Enzo could hear him breathing hard in the night air. He was trapped. There was no way off the bridge. Enzo looked around in a panic, willing a taxi to appear, or a group of revelers to spill out from a bar somewhere, but there was no one. No traffic, no redemption, no escape. The man behind him began moving forward. In the distance, Enzo could see the lights of traffic drifting past on the Quai de l'Hôtel de Ville, but they might as well have been a million miles away. The sharp blast of a horn startled him. He turned to see the lights of a péniche approaching on the river below. In fact, there were two barges, end to end, being shunted downriver by a small tug. They sat dangerously low in the water, weighed down by their cargo of sand. Enzo could see the figure of the helmsman in the window of the wheelhouse. The first of the barges was already passing under the bridge immediately beneath him. The sand looked soft and inviting, a drop of 4 or 5 meters. He turned and clutched the rail. It would be a desperate thing to do. If he jumped and misjudged it, he could break his legs and God knows what else on the crossbars, or even end up in the water. Almost as if they realized what was in his mind, the two men started moving towards him. Enzo no longer had any choice. He hoisted himself onto the rail, balancing precariously for a moment. He heard one of the men shouting, and he jumped. Even as he fell through the air, it occurred to him how absurd this was. What on earth was he doing? He hit the sand with more force than he had been expecting. His legs folded under him and he landed on his back. The sand was not as giving as he had hoped, and all the air was knocked from his lungs. He found himself looking up at the underside of the bridge passing overhead, unable to breathe, unable to move. If either of these men had a gun, he would be an easy target when he emerged on the far side. He lay helplessly, face up, as the star-studded sky emerged once more, and he saw the two men peering down at him from the parapet. One of them seemed to be laughing, the other serious and unsmiling. What if the danger had only been imagined, and the two men on the Pont Saint-Louis were simply on their way home after a night out? Here he was, leaping off the bridge like a madman. Enzo tried to imagine how he would have reacted had he encountered a man who had suddenly, and for no apparent reason, thrown himself off a bridge onto a passing barge. With something between a cough and a retch, his lungs were suddenly released from their paralysis, and they filled painfully and rapidly with air. His first few breaths were difficult. He seemed to have to fight to empty and then refill them. He inclined his head to see the two men still standing on the bridge, watching as the barge took its course around the north side of the Ile de la Cité. He saw the flare of a match as one of them lit a cigarette. He let his head fall back and lay for several minutes, waiting for his breathing and his heartbeat to stabilize.